It's time for America's most unique motorsport show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, again, live from the Racing Boys studio here in lovely Kansas City. It's kind of a chilly day here in Kansas City. Not too warm. I think it's going to get to 60 degrees today. Marie, how you doing? We thank you for always tuning into the show as usual. We got a good show lined up for you today. We've got the voice of Knoxville Raceway. I don't know how long Tony's been there. I think it's over 25 years. Tony Bockhoven will join us here in just a little bit to talk about what's going on up at Knoxville Raceway this year and everything that is Knoxville. A lot of changes going up there this year. And also, we are going to have one of my really good friends. I mean, a guy that has been a friend of mine for 20-plus years. He's the co-owner of Spire Sports and Entertainment. TJ Pusher is going to join us here in just a little bit. Talk about their truck series and what's going on with their cup team. And, you know, he's just the ramrod behind everything there. Him and Jeff Dickerson, they are a great pair. They do a great job with Spire Sports and Entertainment. Been great friends of mine for a long time. Have done a lot for me in the past, and I can't thank them enough for everything they've ever done for me here at Racing Boys. So there you have it. Tony Bockhoven, TJ Pusher are going to join us here in a little bit. Let's talk about some of the big news that's breaking today. I don't know if you heard it, Austin, or not, but I did this morning on Sirius NASCAR Radio. Kyle Larson saying to Claire B. Lang that they shouldn't run windshields in the cars at Bristol this weekend, and if they're going to run windshields, they might not even as well run the race. What do you think about that?
I agree with them. We all remember what happened last year.
Yeah,
you know it. Now last year the circumstances were a little different. We had a lot of rain and just a lot of things that didn't really help the issue. And I mean, I have to agree with Kyle. You can't put a windshield in and go racing in the dirt. I mean, there's just no way to get around it.
Now hold on a second. They've been doing it for a few years now already.
Yeah. I mean, like the ARCA series has done it at like the Coin and Springfield Mile,
right.
But those tracks, they aren't like a half mile. They don't get super heavy. They're usually dry, not dry, right. But not as muddy. And they did a test, you know, at Bristol last week or 2 weeks ago, and
yeah.
They did test without the windshield, and it reacted well to it, but I don't know if it was just wasn't enough time, you know, ahead of time to get it in place or what. Why they're not doing it.
Do you think Kyle has enough influence with NASCAR to make them change their mind if they're going to do it again next year? Do you think that there's a possibility that that could happen?
I think with him being from the dirt side, he has a lot more influence on the dirt just because mm-hmm. NASCAR isn't rich in information on that side. So, I
right.
mean, yeah, if he brings, you know, good enough points and he has, you know, good facts to back up his reasons, I think he could have a good influence on what happens in the future.
You know, I'm a little concerned about the electronics in those cars, though. What will happen to those cars if they get saturated with mud and water and everything that's out there on a dirt track? That's the real problem I see having.
Well, they mount, you know, all the electronic stuff on top of the dash, so I don't understand why we couldn't put, like, you know, a piece of aluminum or a cover over them so that, you know, dirt that comes in
just
on top.
Just cover it up.
Yeah, just cover it up. So the dirt that comes over the hood onto the dash into the cockpit wouldn't lay on it.
Let me ask you this. Do you think there's a possibility if they did that equipment could get hot and fail?
Well, I mean, how hot does the cockpit of a cup car get? What, 140 degrees?
Yeah, but I'm just talking about if you encased it in a box.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, if it gets that hot in there, it should be all right.
You think
you know,
be
just,
okay.
Just cover the top of it,
yeah.
But leave the front side open so you could stick your hand in there and have that airflow in and out, maybe. I don't know. It's a thought to have, you know, presented to him.
Well, I just don't know if Kyle Larson has enough pull as a past champion to make NASCAR make that decision to pull the windshields out of them.
I think if he, Stuart Friesen, Tyler Reddick, Chase Briscoe, Christopher Bell, all the dirt guys, you know, you know, had a backing and went to them, I think they could have an influence on it. I don't know. Stuart Friesa, I think, would have the biggest one just because him and Kyle, because he's been doing all the testing on dirt for the cup, yeah. the new next-gen car.
So you think just put a rock guard in there? Is that what you would do? Maybe weld it in, or better yet, maybe you would just temporarily put a rock guard in there.
Yeah, I mean, you have the like the left side down tube, and then you have the bar in the middle. You could weld, you know, two little brackets that comes in there with a pin. You just slide your rock screen in and pin it. I know that's how we built our stock car years ago. I had a removable rock screen in it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because we had, I can't remember why we did it, but we made it up one way where we could pull it in and out. I mean, you wouldn't have to, you know, do a lot of modifications to your chassis if you did it that way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. You know, the thing about it is, I don't know if there's a situation where they could build a one-off car for this dirt track. Is it too expensive? Because I know, again, I'm friends with some people that own some cup cars, and these cup cars are not cheap. They're about $330,000 to build, right? So would it be too expensive to build a one-off car for the cup for the dirt race at Bristol, do you think?
Well, I think it just
depends. Just a one-off deal.
It just depends. Now, if we had some more events there,
yeah.
Like, we, you know, the road course cars are a little different.
Yeah.
And we go to, what, 6 or 7 road courses every year. So I think if we had some more events, that could be a possibility. But until we get our supply up on the chassis with the next-gen car, I think until that point, we're going to be stuck with what we have.
Yeah.
And then maybe a year down the road when we have, you know, a bunch of cars sitting at the back of the shop, then you could modify those cars into dirt cars and just, you know, run those cars once or twice a year.
I don't know. I don't know if I want another dirt race, to be honest with you. To be brutally honest with you, I'm not sure I want to see another cup dirt race. I think one is enough for the year.
Yeah, I think if you did it, you have to go somewhere. I don't know. I don't know where you would go with it if you did one more.
If you were going to do it, I think where you should do it. Is that Kirk's computer blaring over there?
Let me go turn it down.
All right. You know, if they were going to do it, though, I think what they should do is put dirt on Iowa Speedway. It's 7/8 of a mile. It's a short track. Put dirt on it. Make it a full-time dirt race facility for NASCAR events. What do you think?
We talked about that a while ago, and you and I kind of got into discussion of what we should do. I think they should bring Wilkesboro back as a dirt track. It's a 5/8.
Yeah,
it's not, you know, huge, so it wouldn't be hard to maintain it like a 7/8.
But how much money would you have to spend on that place to even get it back to life?
Well, they're working on it. Marcus Smith's working on it. They did a lot of, you know, demolition of the buildings, but you could save a lot of money in pavement or in concrete for the track. So I think there's benefits and pros and cons to doing that. But, I mean, you look at, like, when USAC or K&N or ARCA goes and runs, like, on the miles, how bad that track gets over time, because it's hard to prep a track that's that big. So
yeah.
Go to a track that's like a half mile, 5/8, then it's easy to maintain it for the best racing. That's my two cents on it.
Yeah. I'm still, Iowa Speedway's just sitting up there going to waste right now. They're not even doing anything with it, right? Did they have an IndyCar race at Iowa Speedway this year?
I think it might be.
Kirk would know the answer to that, but he's got his headphones. Did they have an IndyCar race at Iowa this year?
This year they do.
They did. Yeah.
Didn't have it last year, but they got it this year.
They didn't have it last year, but they're going to have it this year. Right. When is the date of that, Kirk? Do you know? That's all right. We'll he'll look it up and we'll find out. But, you know, there's Russell here. He says bring it to Eldora. So I'm not sure. Would you want to bring it to Eldora, a cup race? I don't think there's enough seats.
No, not enough seats. And you look at the same issues we're having at Bristol with the banking. Now, Eldora doesn't have a lot, but it's a pretty good...
It's banked up pretty good.
It's a pretty good bank. Yeah, and, yeah. I mean, those heavy cars are hard to get up that high. It's just, it's you see what happens at Bristol. It's one lane around the bottom.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to kind of get to a track that has, like, you know, 10 to 12 degrees of banking.
Yep, Sam said North Wilkesboro would be a great choice. How about that? Got somebody jumping on your side there. How about that? Sam's all in for it. Well, I don't know. I think what they need to do, instead of having a temporary facility like they do at Bristol, I think they need to make a track, a full-time dirt track, and they run there once or twice a year.
Yeah. Or you do like what, you know, ARCA does and go to the Des Moines Mile or Springfield
Mile.
July
23rd. July 23rd, they're going to run the Indy cars up at Iowa Speedway.
Hmm.
I don't know. Me personally, I just think that they need to have a full-time dirt track facility that has enough seats. I think they have about 30,000 seats up there at Iowa Speedway. That would be enough.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I probably could look and see what the exact number is.
I think
if you can hold IndyCar events and, you know, nationwide and trucks, then you should be all right on a cup race.
Right. Frog, he's chiming in. State Fair, 1 mile track, like old IMCA and USAC. No, I'm not into that. Where is there a 1 mile track that's got enough grandstands, first of all?
That's a really good...
I mean, seriously.
Good question.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what the Indy Mile had. That's now a parking lot. Actually, it's a horse track used for parking during the state fair.
Right.
I don't think, you know, Springfield or Des Moines have enough.
All right.
Iowa Speedway has 30,000 seats, so you're dead on.
Steve said IndyCars are at Iowa for a 2-day show. Oh, really? Kirk didn't tell me that part. I'm not sure about that though. I think Iowa Speedway would be my choice if I was going to pick a place. It's got the right amount of seats. And
how big's Kentucky? That's a mile and a half, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, I thought it was a mile.
It's too big.
No.
Yeah, it's
anything big. Over like a mile is way too big.
Nashville Super Speedway is a mile and a third.
Yeah,
it's still too big.
I wouldn't do it there.
No, that's still too big. Syracuse was the last 1 mile dirt track in New York. Russell says here on the chat room, so it's good to know that Syracuse last 1 mile dirt track in New York. How about that? Knoxville has already updated for NASCAR. What do you really? Is Knoxville the place to take a cup race, would you think? I mean, it's got 20-some thousand seats.
Yeah, I think it's 27,000 seats because I went to the Nationals a couple years ago and it sold out. And I think they announced over the PA that it was like 27,000 or so, or tickets were sold for that amount.
That's got to include the infield, too.
It has to be. But,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, I mean, they have the amenities and they held the truck race last year. So, I mean, it could be, you know, a good place for it.
Right, yeah. Let's move on to our other subject here today. World Finals increased their purse, and they're going to have a unique format as well. Tell me a little bit about that, Austin.
Yeah, let me get the article pulled up.
All right. So, increased, I think it's like a $600,000 purse, if I had that pulled up right. Yeah.
Yeah, so the format, usually, you know, the World Finals are like a, I think Kirk said it was a 2 or 3 day show. So they qualified like on a Friday and then they race on a Saturday.
Right.
And they're going to do a 3 day format, actually 4 day format now. So Wednesday is just going to be the sprint cars and the late models that race for 15,000 to win a piece. And then they're going to do more fan engagement. So the big block modifieds will have like a fanfare. I'm assuming probably in the midway or in the pits. Right. And then Thursday night, it'll be the sprint cars once again, along with the big block modifieds, and the late models will have a fanfare. Friday night will be the late models and the big blocks, with the sprint cars having a fanfare. And then for Saturday, it's all three events racing for $25,000 to win the sprint car race, $25,000 to win late models race.
And $15,000 for the big blocks.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of money, man.
It is.
I don't know
what it paid last year, but when you see $600,000 in total purses, is a good payday.
Well, you know, to race for prelim nights and get paid $15,000, that's a lot of money, too. A guy could walk out of there if he could sweep all three nights with a pocket full of money.
You could walk out with $55,000 now.
Right.
Did you win the championship? Then you could walk out with even more.
Right. I don't know, man. What do you think about all that? You think that's good?
I think so. I think it just shows that they're trying to reinvest and you know, having more fan exposure at the track. You know, they're having the fanfares, and then, you know, that the event is still having life, and they still want to, you know, put some effort into it.
Yeah. You know, I'm really impressed with what the World of Outlaws are trying to do this year. They obviously feel the pressure of other series, and they're really ratcheting it up, trying to make sure that they stay on top of sprint car racing, late model racing, big block modifieds. They're trying to stay in front of everybody, aren't they?
They are. And, you know, the World of Outlaws and, you know, the World Racing Group, you think of them as being number one, and I don't think they want to lose that number. You know, they still want to be the best in the country and the best in the world, and I think they're going to do everything it takes to maintain that.
Well, really, just to be fair, you know, and no disrespect to any other series, but really, who is equal to the World of Outlaws?
Nobody.
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 They really don't have anything to worry about, do they?
They don't. I mean, a close second would be the All-Stars, but they're a distant second. I'd say close, but they're a distant second.
And again, this is no disrespect to the All-Star Circuit of Champions and Tony Stewart series, but they don't travel around the country like the World of Outlaws.
No, they're kind of like a working man's 410 touring series.
Right, yeah.
Because you can still go work and then have your daily job, but also still go race sprint cars on the weekends.
Yeah, because they don't pull from East Coast to West Coast.
No.
Right, yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know why the World of Outlaws feel like they feel like they've got all this pressure on them.
Maybe they don't feel that. Maybe they just want to start throwing some money around.
I do just to show that
they can do it.
I do think they feel pressure in the late model side of things.
Oh, they have to.
They have to feel that kind of pressure because a lot of the guys were going over there to run the Lucas Oil late model series, mm-hmm. right?
That and then the new Super XR series too.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to have Tony Bockhoven, the voice of Knoxville Raceway for over 25 years. He's a great guy. Tony Bockhoven joins us next to our Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Rod End Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod End Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod End Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodendsupply.com.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
39 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive.
It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And joining us now is the voice of Knoxville Raceway, longtime friend of the Racing Boys. In fact, used to do a show at Racing Boys. Tony Bachhoven joins us now. Tony, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Are you still in the same studio as we used to do the show in?
No, we have the same set from the old radio station, but but we've transplanted it. I've built a really nice studio in my house.
And, oh, there you go.
And so I don't have to go anywhere when I have to go to work. I just wake up, walk downstairs, and go to work, Tony.
Can't beat that.
It's not a bad assignment, really. We've got a really nice studio down here. We've been blessed over the years to have some nice places to work at, and we're just so fortunate, man, to have everything that we have going for us. You know, Tony, I've got to talk to you a little bit before we get into Knoxville. You've got some new assignments coming up now. You're going to be doing some national stuff, right? You have been for the last several years, but let's talk about what you got coming up now.
Yeah, so really, you know, you talk about being blessed, and you know, I got the opportunity coming up to announce with Jim Childers and Eric to call the big NASCAR race at Worldwide Technology Raceway coming up in June, the Enjoy Illinois 300 presented by Ticket Smarter. So super excited about that. It's going to be a unique setup where fans will have the opportunity, if they want, to listen to the MRN broadcast on their headphones, or if they want to hear the three of us call the action as it happens, then they'll be able to do that. And you know, we did that last year at the NTT IndyCar race and the NASCAR Camping World Truck event,
yeah.
And it went off really well, and the fans really loved it. So, super excited to get to do that all again this year.
Tony, I'm shocked that somebody hasn't plucked you away from Knoxville Raceway, and I know that's your home, right? I'm not trying to say that you want to leave there or anything like that, but you're so good at your craft, and you're so studious, and you work hard at what you do. You've probably had a few opportunities along the way to leave Knoxville Raceway, but you probably chose to stay, right?
Yeah, you know, early in my career, I had some opportunities, and you know, when you're a kid, not really sure what you're going to do with your life.
You're right, right.
You kind of go with I chose to go with what I could count on, right? And I've been really fortunate, and it's, you know, it's been hard to want to leave Knoxville for obvious reasons, right? And then I got the opportunity to do some TV stuff along the way, and whether it was off-road trucks or World of Outlaw races or some drag racing stuff. I've been able to, because I've been lucky enough that my real job is flexible enough that I can get away, I've been able to do both kind of at the pace I wanted to. And so, yeah, there's been some times along the way I wish I would have maybe went head first and just did it full time. And but as I look back on my career, if it all ended today, Scott, I have no complaints, right? Because
right.
I've gotten to go to races that I probably would have never went to otherwise, announced at events, you know, that I would have only ever got to watch on TV. So I've been super lucky, and yeah, knock on wood, I'm not ready to quit yet, and some of those opportunities keep calling, so that's good.
Right. So I guess it kind of appeases you enough to where you can just dip your toes in the water a little bit and get your taste of that other side of the fence once in a while, and then go back and do your full-time gig at Knoxville Raceway. That's probably how you probably make yourself feel a little bit better doing some of the other stuff, right?
Yeah, you know, it's nice. It's nice to get a go and do sprint car races at other sprint car tracks and the events like at Worldwide Technology Raceway.
Yeah.
And I think it does, you know, personally, it kind of validates the hard work that I put into it. And it is nice to know that people appreciate my ability to announce
sure.
the race and
yeah.
and call action and ask me to come to some of these other venues. And you know, like last year, I was literally sitting at home watching the World of Outlaws on my computer, and I got a call from Brian Dunlap, and Johnny was having, you know, that whole little spell of voice issue he had.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, hey, can you be at Eldora tomorrow? You know, and so that's pretty cool.
Right, right. When you're the backup to Johnny Gibson, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, you know, people, yeah. It's funny you say that because people have said, you know, what have you learned from Johnny over the years? And I said, well, we've been doing it about the same amount of time. And I'd say I've learned about as much from him as he's learned from me.
No doubt about it. Unfortunately, the season opener at Knoxville Raceway has been canceled. That's a bummer, man. I was hoping to get up there this weekend.
Yeah, you know, the weather's been so goofy here this
yeah.
week. And, you know, the forecast is just awful, and everywhere around here is canceling because, you know, we've had some storms this week, we've had tremendous wind, we've had cold. At this moment the sun is out, but the wind's blowing 50 miles an hour, and the next couple days are not supposed to be very good either. And so, you know, with what it costs to get up and down the road, as you're well aware,
yeah.
It's not cheap to get up and down the road, and giving the teams a chance to not pull 2 or 3 hours to get to Knoxville just makes sense. You know, we're at a time where we have to, as a racetrack, have to help the team save as much money as they can, right? So that
right.
they can afford to race. And this is just one of those deals where nobody likes it, but you just got to make the call.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I know there was a lot of people looking forward to the opening night up there this weekend. Unfortunately, it's going to take off April 23rd, they're going to run the 410s, 360s, and the Pro Sprints. Let's talk about the upcoming season, and what do you anticipate? Do you see any young drivers coming up through the ranks that might overtake some of the veterans that are running in the 410s?
Well, I'm really excited because I think we'll have easily 25, if not 30, 410s on a weekly basis.
Yep.
And you know, if you think about some names maybe that you aren't familiar with, it's going to be super cool to have Brandon Wimmer racing with us. I'm really excited to get a season with J.J. Hickel racing
yep.
with us.
Yep.
You know, I think just that alone, do I expect them to go out and win every week? Probably not, but
sure.
they're going to be contenders, and they're going to be new names that fans can latch onto. And, you know, we're going to have a bunch of rookies. There's a young man from Newton, Landon Hansen, that's going to run with us. There's a guy, Tim Estensen from Fargo, is going to run with us some. So Ben Brown. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them. And so I think we're at a really good spot where we've got some new life in the 410 class, which
yep.
is good. And that'll give people something to get excited about. And the 360s is no different. You know, there's a bunch of guys moving up from our 305 or our pro sprint class. And, you know, I was probably a skeptic of that whole thing back in the day when that started, that whole mentality of running at English Creek and then transferring to
yeah.
the pro sprints and moving up. But, you know, we're going to see Devin Wignall do it this year and Alex Vandevort. And so you know, we're going to have Chase Randall, of all people, running with us. That's going to be
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
So Knoxville, from a weekly basis, Scott, I think is going to have one of the top weekly shows in the country again.
Do you think the cost of traveling up and down the road might drag some people to go up there and race full time at Knoxville because they just don't want to have to deal with the expense of traveling. You know, the motel rooms right now are astronomical. The price of fuel. You know, I've said this to many people. I got out of traveling up and down the road at the right time, right? You know what I mean? That with the price of fuel, the motel rooms, and the price of cameraman and what they're getting nowadays, you know, with all these people that have a lot of money that are coming into our industry and driving the cost up of the cameraman and stuff, I think we got out at the right time. Do you think Knoxville's going to gain some people because they don't want to travel up and down the road and pay the cost of doing so?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. You know, there's lots of benefits to being in the points at Knoxville. Mm-hmm. You know, the guys that run regular in points, you know, John McCoy and the Fair Board have done a nice job of working out a tire thing where they give out some tires throughout the year to guys that run the points. That all adds up after a while.
Yeah, no doubt.
And, you know, you talk about the getting up and down the road. You know, Brock Zierfoss, for example, he's not going to run with us weekly, but he's rented a shop in Knoxville because he needed a more centralized place to work from, right? Mm-hmm. And that's all part of this rising cost of getting up and down the road. And so, yeah, I think, you know, look at Chase Randall, you know, from, you know, deep in Texas, right? And he's going to run with us weekly. And I think a lot of that's because, A, he wants to get the experience, but it'll be a more affordable way for him to get great, valuable experience at Knoxville and not have to drive, you know, thousands and thousands of miles a month getting up and down the road.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest concerns, I think, of everybody in our industry is the concern about tires this year. And I'm just nervous that we're going to run out of tires during the month of July and August when it gets really hot, dry, the tracks start burning up a lot of tires. I'm a little concerned about that. Your thoughts on the situation with the tires?
Yeah, you know, there's been a lot of talk about tires, and I've read a lot of articles of people that believe that sanctioning bodies and tracks should just open up the tire rule and let them run what they can, and you know, that it may come to that.
The
other side of that coin is some racetracks need the tire money, right?
Yep.
And that's important for them to be able to sustain. But I'm with you. I'm worried that in the heat of the summer and as they make the Ohio swing and, you know, we all know what that's like, and tires is going to become a precious commodity, and you might see more strict tire rules coming out, and, you know, who knows, maybe you'll see, a spec tire on the right rear, but an open tire, I don't know, you know, on the rest of the
car.
Who knows?
But right.
I think something's going to have to happen. The other thing I think is going to have to happen is, somebody else needs to start building some tires. And
right.
I think there needs to be some competition in sprint car tires.
Yep.
You know, but it's not all just Hoosiers. It's not their fault. I mean, there is, you know, in the industry I work in full time, I mean, we're experiencing supplier issues every day. And so I'm sure there are those factors that are lumped into why tires are becoming harder to get and more expensive.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's move ahead and let's talk about the Camping World Truck Series coming back to Knoxville June 17th and 18th. Man, what a show they put on last year.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't know if anybody really knew what to expect, right, when they mm-hmm. came. But I liked it. You know, for the most part, the drivers were excited about coming there. The unfortunate part is, you know, everybody only remembers the last, you know, 5-10 laps of the race, right, when it took 45 minutes to get it in. But if you think back to the beginning of the night, it was cool. It was a format that dirt trackers are used to seeing. I like how it levels the playing field for those drivers, you know, because they don't have time on a dirt track or a track like Knoxville. So mm-hmm. I think that's the fun part about it, is watching those guys get out of their element, and you find out what guys are able to get up on the wheel and which ones aren't in a hurry.
Right. You know, it's amazing because a lot of people think that these guys that run in the Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, or the Cup Series are not talented drivers. But all you have to do is take a look at them and watch how they drive on the dirt tracks to realize that these guys have uber amount of talent and they can handle this dirt just as well as they do asphalt.
Oh, for sure. They're very talented drivers.
Yep.
And, you know, some of them have some deep roots to dirt, but some of them don't. But, you know, I think the difference is, Scott, is most fans are used to watching Cup guys and NASCAR truck guys run on tracks that they've raced on before,
mm-hmm.
you know, and have some information and notes and logs on how to set a truck or a car up on certain types of asphalt or paved tracks. And
yeah.
when you come to a place like Knoxville, or when they went to Eldora, it's a whole new ball game, you
yeah.
know, and
yep.
it's a different tire. The suspensions are completely different. So it does throw a different element at them. And, you know, when Brownie ran the truck last year, you know, I remember talking to him a couple times, and, you know, he wasn't allowed to drive anything outside of a sprint car on that racetrack leading up to the truck race because of how they try to maintain a level playing field of no practice laps and things like that, right? So
yep, yep.
he didn't have a chance to get a heavy vehicle on that racetrack either, like any of the rest of the guys.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the Knoxville Nationals, the 61st NOS Energy Drink. Knoxville Nationals presented by Casey's is coming up this year. Who are some of the guys that you got to look at as the favorite? If Kyle Larson's going to be there, obviously you got to think about him being one of the favorites. But who are some of the other guys we need to take a look at this year at the 410 Nationals?
Well, obviously Brad Sweet,
yep,
right?
Obviously.
He's becoming one of those guys that gets really good when he comes to Knoxville. You know, by August, Donnie will be even faster than he has been getting the last couple of weeks. But outside of the obvious ones there, I think if you had $5 to bet on with your buddies, you better put it on Logan Schuchart. And yeah. and you better keep your eye on him. And you ought to probably put a little money on Carson Macedo somewhere along the way.
Yep.
And then, you know, David Gravel has got to be in that trio of guys that are going to pick off a win here pretty quick.
Yeah, there's a blanket of guys.
There's a bunch of them.
There's a bunch of them that you could really talk about winning that race. And finally, you wrap up the season with the Lucas Oil Late Model Series up there at Knoxville Raceway. The fans show up for the late models at Knoxville, don't they?
They sure do, and it's a different group of fans, but
yeah.
what I'm starting to see is, you know, some of our sprint car people are starting to give it a little shot. You know, they're giving it a taste because they're hearing so much about it. You know, Scott, I've told you this before, it's easily a top three race of ours throughout our schedule, you know,
yeah.
and it's getting the competition's awesome. And if you weren't a late model fan before the late model nationals, you would be after you came and spent a night or two with them. And quite honestly, the fun part is, and you've been there, so you know this, but yep. late model fans know no strangers, you know, so the tailgating is some of the best tailgating of any race that I go to all year long.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Before we let you go, Tony, we got to talk about back in the day, you and Brownie used to do a show here at Racing Boys, Win It or Wear It. You flew down every week to do the show. Brown would come over from his place over there in Grain Valley. How many years ago was that?
Oh, man. When you started the show, I was thinking about that today. And, man, Scott, that's got to be 15 years ago.
It has to be.
At least.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you were at the old station, the old radio station there.
Yep.
But yeah, we used
in
to,
the ghetto.
Kyle,
we were in the ghetto.
His little plane.
We were in the ghetto over there, Tony.
Yeah.
Not so much anymore.
Kyle would fly me down in the plane, and we'd do the show, and we'd fly back to Pella the same night. But
yeah,
that was fun. You know, that was boy. That's been a chapter or two ago for both of us.
Well, we've aged a little bit since then. Yeah.
We sure have. But
yeah.
it was fun.
Yeah.
You know, getting to do that with Brownie and, you know, getting some people to call in. And you know, call-in shows are fun because you never know what you're going to get on the other end of the line.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, you know, we do this show live every day at 12 noon Central Time. And, you know, we sit here and we think about our downloads and how many downloads we're getting. And we think, well, you know, we're not getting as many as maybe some other people do because we do the show live. And we have about 44 states, 9 countries that watch us every day. So, you know, it's amazing, really, what the world has transitioned into from back the day when you guys did Win It or Wear It to where we're at now. it's kind of amazing on how podcasts and how talk shows have transpired since those days back in the long time ago.
Yeah, you know, I used to back then, I was still relying on getting my speed sport and my open wheel and,
right,
you know, some of those things just to get my stats and figures pulled together, you know. And now, to your point, I can go online and find a podcast and hear what so-and-so said about the last race they were at, you know.
Yeah,
and
no doubt.
It, from an announcer's perspective, it's made things much, much easier because, you know, now my prep time is a couple nights a week instead of every night of the week.
Yeah. Tony, we hope to have you on during the summer to talk about the weekly races if we can from time to time. If something really exciting happens up there at Knoxville Raceway, we hope to have you back on the show.
Sounds good, Scott. Looking forward to it, and thanks for having me on today.
All right. There you have it. Tony Bockhoven, the voice of Knoxville Raceway, joining us on the show. When we come back, TJ Pusher, co-owner of Spire Sports and Entertainment, joins us next here on Mostly Motorsports.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Rod End Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod End Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod End Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodendsupply.com.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the Racing Boys studio here in Kansas City, Missouri. And joining us now on the show is a guy that I consider one of my best friends. TJ Pusher joins us on the show now. TJ, how you doing, brother?
I'm good, Traylor. How you doing today, boss?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing really good because I've got you on the show. And I just got to say, man, I just want to say it outwardly that you've done so much for me over the course of the last 20 years. I can't thank you enough for everything you've ever done for me, my friend.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, but that streak goes both ways. So
yeah.
Appreciate all you've done for Jeff and us and the Spire family, and God, for all the dirt track, the grassroots racing, what you do and how much you do for the entire industry. Just people don't understand, but we do, and we sure appreciate it. So
TJ, let's step back in time a little bit, and before we get into everything that's going over at Spire, I remember the day. Where'd you spot for me? Was it at Kansas Speedway where you spotted for me?
Yeah.
That was a long time ago, my friend. That was almost 20 years ago.
It was a long time ago. We had that MB2 car.
Yep.
And it was really good. And you were spending a king's ransom,
yeah,
chasing your dream, and yeah. And it was really cool to be a part of. And the few of you that know me, I can't see. And Traylor asked me to go up and spot for him. I can't see out of my right eye worth of hell. and we're trying to take care of this car, so I'm clearing him two car lengths past everybody because I don't want to wreck it. I want to be super careful. And God, we had a blast. We had such a good day, and you did a hell of a job. I think that was my second and last spotting experience, so it was a lot of fun, and I'll always have that memory to be a part of it. I appreciate it.
You know, that was such a fun time back in those days. You know, Jack and I went down and we bought those two MB2 cars, and you know, I'm so thankful that Jack introduced me to you, and you know, we hung out quite a bit. This is before Spire. This is before you were with Todd, and you were just working really hard to do what you do. You're one of the very best at bringing people in and getting them involved in this industry. Talk about your early years and when you hooked up with Todd Braun and you got the trim spa thing all put together. Talk about those early years.
Oof, man, that's going back to 2003. We were doing all this stuff, and I had a deal on the table with Trim Spa and Robbie Gordon. We actually we were going to contract, met up in Loudoun, went the following week up to Trim Spa's headquarters up in New Jersey, and we were getting ready to close that deal, and it was my first big deal, and him and John Story, they ended up signing Fruit of the Loom that same week, and I got bounced, and my roommate at the time, J.D. Kramer, he's an old sprint car guy, you remember his dad, Bob, and
yep,
all the stuff they used to do, and he was like, you got to go see this Todd Braun guy, and I was like, man, like, I don't know this guy, you know, and it's, you know, it's just, yeah, I was pretty down. And it was Labor Day weekend, and he goes, go talk to Andy Graves. He used to run my dad's team. He's running Chip's place. They got a developmental deal with Braun. He'll shoot you straight. So that Monday, Labor Day 03, went and met with Andy. They were still up here in Lakeside over in the Mooresville shop up there, front rows there now. I think Biffle owns the building, but it was, I walked in there and I spent a couple hours with Andy, and he laid it out and he got me comfortable, and I went and talked to Todd for the next couple months, and he ended up giving me my first gig, and we closed that trim spot deal in January.
Yeah. And that turned out to be such a great deal for you, wasn't it?
Oh, Well, it's super good. I mean, Todd, you know, Todd has done a ton for me over the years. And, you know, you're talking 18, 19 years now.
Yeah.
You know, right. Great relationship, a really, really good friend. Done a lot for each other. And it's just, you know, we've won our fair share of Busch races, Xfinity races, you know, and had a lot of fun. And, you know, it was a good family ordeal. And that kind of led to, he got out once Turner got in.
Yep.
And then that he got back into the sport when Justin Haley, his nephew, they tried to make a run at this. And
yeah,
we started that in 2015. And, you know, he caught his big break with college here now and running the Cup Series on Sundays for those guys and doing a hell of a job. Super, super proud of that. So it definitely comes all full circle.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got to tell this story about Todd Braun. And you guys were in Kansas City. We're down at Power and Light. We were out having a good time. And Todd says, "Hey, Scott, I want to give you some advice." Right. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. And I'm thinking, all right, Todd's going to give me some advice. He's going to tell me the plan. He's going to help me navigate this thing down the road so I can be successful with my ARCA team. He pulls me aside. He takes me over into the corner of the room, and he looks at me. I said, "All right, Todd, give me some advice." He said, "Get out now." I'll never forget that as long as I live. I'm thinking that he's going to give me all this great advice, right? And Todd looks at me dead in the eye and says, "Get out now."
Yeah. It was good counsel, though, wasn't it?
It was the best advice anybody gave me, to be honest with you. Because I was losing my ass at the time, you know?
Yeah.
You know what the problem was, TJ, is that we started out so good with that ARCA team, right? You know, my first race, I qualified 11th at Kansas Speedway, was running in the top 10 when I crashed. And then we put Boyer in the car. We went down to Nashville. We qualified 7th, led 47 laps, lost the lead with 9 laps to go, ran 2nd, went down to Charlotte, ran in the top 5 all night down there before the rain set in on us, and we got caught during a pit stop, and it was a bad deal for us. But, you know, when you have that success immediately out of the box, you think, man, I can do this, right? I'm going to throw everything in the kitchen sink at it to try to make this happen. And, well, after my life savings was gone, I realized that I couldn't do it.
Absolutely, and fun fact with that, closing the circle on the Braun Justin Haley stuff.
Yep,
Trent Owens was your crew chief and Clint's crew chief in Nashville that weekend, and he is Justin Haley's crew chief today in the Cup Series.
Isn't that crazy?
So
yeah, T.O. is a good guy, isn't he, man?
Good as they come.
Yeah,
good as they come. He does a really good job. He does a really, really good job. And you know, those guys are building that thing at college with Chris Rice, and Matt gives them all the tools to do what they need to do. It's just first year out for them, you know, and it's hard. And it's that Sunday field is just, it's as deep as it's been since I want to go back to those Red Bull days before the charter system, you know, when we were showing up 46, 47, 48 cars, and they were sending 3, 4, 5 guys home every Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's that deep right now. It's really healthy. I think racing across all platforms is healthy right now, and it's good to see. It's fun to be a small part of.
I'd like to see ARCA in a little better place right now, to be honest with you, because back in the day when I had my ARCA team, there was about 50 cars at every race, right? And it's a little bit different now, but that's a whole nother story. I want to get into your truck that you've been running. Man, you guys could have won at COTA. That was pretty close right there, wasn't it?
Yeah. We had a shot for sure. We could have won Daytona, too. I mean, I don't feel like any of the three that we've participated in, we couldn't have won. You know, Greachy came to Jeff and I November of last year and said, "Hey, I think I want to go truck racing. I know you guys have been talking about it." You know, again, Greachy's just one of those guys. Everything he touches turns to gold, and I've known him since I was pretty much in diapers. Yeah. And, okay, let's do it. And he went and grabbed Bono, and, you know, there's those two and Animal and, you know, they're out at his house.
Right.
Flipping those trucks in his, at the shop at his house. You know, it's just kind of like how we used to do it with you. You know,
yeah, right.
It's that old school racer's mentality. You know, we don't have the open trailer, but we're basically doing everything else. I mean, the stuff's super nice. It's all going in the equipment. And we're just, you know, we're just going to try and build this thing slow. And when we got sponsorship, we're going to race. And when we don't, we're going to stay home and work on our stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. You know, I mean, what's going on and the support that we're getting from, you know, the Hendrick Group and Hendrick Automotive Group and you know, having those heroes be able to get in that and compete, it's good. But I hope everybody also sees it translates to Sundays, you know.
Yeah.
Alex was in that at COTA chasing, passing for the lead and it didn't work out, but he ran second on Sunday, you know.
Right.
We won Thursday night with Willie, who we actually you know, we won that K&N championship with Byron back in 2014 when we were helping that stuff with Greachy, and it comes back full circle, and he goes back and closes out the weekend and wins that cup race Saturday night. I mean, it's just pretty special.
Yeah. TJ, I got to talk to you a little bit about the race coming up this weekend. Are you a little nervous when you – I won't go into the details because I know how much these cars cost, right, to build these cars. It's an astronomical amount of money to build these cars. Are you a little nervous going into a dirt race with so much money invested into one of these cars?
Well, it's crazy what you can get used to.
I guess.
this game is not for the weak of heart, right?
Right.
So, you know, I think you get a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
After every race, right? It's just you get a little bit more comfortable of who you are, where you've been, and where you're going, you know? And I think for our group, you know, look, we're a 25th place, the 30th Cup team. We don't shy away from that.
Mm-hmm.
We're truthful about how we go about our business, right? And it's going to take time to build this thing. Jeff and I don't have deep pockets that we can just go pour money on this thing and compete. We got to be smart and we got to pick our spots. You know, we've had, and it's been feast or famine this year. You know, we've had 15th and 16th at Daytona, you know, biggest race of the year for us. It was a great day. You know, Corey's got his first top five. He ran fifth at Atlanta there, you know, great day. Now we've also left the lug nut loose in Phoenix and hit the fence and finished dead last. And we struggled in Richmond and Martinsville for whatever reason. Our short track stuff is just far off in these things, but you know, I think we'll go to Bristol here and I think we'll have some fun. We're gonna have all guy in the 75, or excuse me, in the 77.
Yeah.
And you know, he's done a lot with us over the years, and Brant, you know, they've been with us for, gosh, I think this is the 12th year we've been helping them in the sport.
Yeah.
And it's fun being able to try and give that a good run on Easter Sunday. So I look forward to it. I think it's you got to get over that, and it's hard to say that, and it's hard to get comfortable with. And yes, it is expensive, but you got to know that going in, you know, and you got to pick your spots. So we'll see.
Well, I know that I know how hard you work at what you do, because I talk to you frequently, and it is so hard to get to the level that you are at right now. Do you ever have to pinch yourself and think about, man, look where I'm at right now and look where I was at 20 years ago? Do you ever have to think to yourself, I'm so blessed? Do you ever feel that way?
Well, luckiest guys in the world, but you know, luck is when preparation meets opportunity, right?
Yeah.
And we've been grinding at this thing, working hard, trying to find ways to make it work. You know, and the relationships that Jeff Dickerson has in the industry and what he's done and the position that he has put us in time and time again, it's just, it's incredible, you know, and you can't buy that. It is not for sale.
Yeah.
You know, and it's rewarding when it happens this way.
Yeah.
You know, and it's fun, but I don't think I've changed any. I know you would keep me honest and tell me if I did.
No, I guarantee it I would. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So
do you think
put my pants on the same way today that I did 20 years ago? So just a little bit slower because I'm older and it hurts, right?
You're the same guy I met 20 years ago. You haven't changed a bit. Hey, do you think that the new car is the great equalizer between the smaller teams and the bigger teams, the have and the have-nots? Do you think there's some kind of great equalizer with this new car?
I think money still wins.
Yeah.
But in saying that, I believe it has definitely helped. And you have seen, you know, for Chase Briscoe to be able to go pull off that win, for Ross Chastain to do what he's doing right now, for Tyler Reddick, he's been knocking on that door. I think that's interesting to see. You know, Hendrick is still, I think, on top of it, running really well. I think the rest of that big four, if you will, Stuart Haas and JGR and Penske, they're, you know, trying to catch up a little bit, but they'll get there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't want to dodge that question. I mean, it's an equalizer to a degree, but at the same time, I mean, you know, you're still, we are the underdogs in this deal, right? I mean, you're just, you're racing against so much resources. It's just, you're just fighting. I mean, it's just, it is a challenge, but it's fun. And that's why you do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to switch gears a little bit here, and I'm just going to talk about for a second. I'm not going to get too deep into it, but Kendra has moved on to Flow Racing. That was had to be a major loss for your company.
I'm so happy for her. She is she is Knoxville, and like you, I mean, she's grassroots racing, dirt racing, and it's been a family affair for her, and it was her dream job, and eventually she outgrew it. And it's a loss, but you know what we're doing with the fair board and continuously trying to make Knoxville the premier dirt track in the country. It's been fun, and you know it's more opportunity for other people to grow and figure out new ways to just make that whole experience better. So it works out for all of us. You know, Jeff and I always want people to be able to better themselves, and I think what Kendra's going to do with Flow is going to be awesome. You know, and I think the rest of the dirt fans around the country are going to benefit from that as well. So she just outgrew it.
You know what? I got out at the right time, TJ. You know, with the price of fuel, the price of motel rooms, and the price of these cameramen, what they're getting now, what Flow's paying them, they all want $450 a night. I felt like Kirk and I got out of that that pay-per-view business at the exact right time. What do you think?
I think so, but I also think you went out. It's good to go out on top too, right?
Yeah.
And when I say that, it's not like you're completely done. You know, I mean, you're still doing radio. What? Still 7 days a week, right? I mean, I know
six days a week.
You might not be doing 220 nights on the road anymore, but
right.
You're still picking and choosing what you want to do and enjoying what you want to enjoy, and you've earned that, you know. And, and I think it's good to be selfish, you know, at this stage in your life, right? Enjoy what you've built and what you've done. I mean, just think about your first year at the Chili Bowl and what it's grown into.
Yeah,
you know. And I don't know that you guys get the credit. Racing Boys gets the credit they deserve for that. You know, and I know you're humble, and I mean that in a respectful way to Emmett and the family, by all means. But, I mean, that's, you know, you guys did that together, and it's just, man, what an awesome event, you know. And it's great. It's great to see.
Yeah. Well, TJ, I'm just going to say it right here on air, man. I love you like a brother. I you're one of my best friends, man. If I need advice from anybody ever, the first person I call is you. And you've always been gracious with your time and always given me solid advice. I can't thank you enough for everything you've done for me for the last 20 years, my friend.
Well, that's a two-way street. You know how much I hate going on the radio or doing these interviews.
I know you do. I'm shocked that you came on here today, to be honest with you.
we did that for you, but man, I love you too. And if you ever need anything, you know where to find me. And I know we'll get up soon, although I'm not going to see you in Kansas this year. I got a wedding, but we'll make up for it somewhere down the road.
Okay, my friend. I appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Scott. Take care.
All right, there you have it. TJ Pusher, a great friend of the Racing Boys. I can't tell you what he's done for Kirk and I, you know, behind the scenes, but he has done a lot for us, and I can't thank him enough, man. He is one of my best friends, and I'm so grateful to have him in my life. He is such a good dude. All right, I want to thank Tony Bachhoven for coming on the show today, as well as TJ Pusher from Spire Sports and Entertainment. We're going to do it all over again tomorrow. We hope that you'll join us 12 noon Central Time right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. For Austin, for Kirk, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.